Today, we're talking Dragon Ball Super 2 and plans for departure.
Nando, what are we? Hold on, wait, whoa. See, I didn't know the topic, bro. What are you talking about?
I did not tell Dotto the topic of today's video, but we are talking, this is all spawned because of a tweet I saw, because a lot of people are coming back into the Dragon Ball fandom right now with Sparking Zero specifically. But if you're like me and Dotto, and especially me with the gacha games, where they are very much so pumping through all the content we have access to, people are begging and asking for manga-related content, and what they don't know is that they can't touch the manga. And I wanted to talk about that today. And just in general, talk about what Super 2 could even look like, Dotto. But we also watched some Dragon Ball Z that we're going to be discussing. This is a massively jam-packed episode. You're going to want to stay tapped in.
Huge episode. We got a huge episode for you coming up right now. I've been pointing at my webcam a lot.
Have you?
Yeah, I have. I've been like you right there. I've been pointing a lot, you know, long running bit for people over on the Patreon who saw us react to this episode, Nano. And we had an exclusive, for the first time ever, we've had an exclusive half of a conversation we had over there. I was actually going to ask you if you wanted to finish. When are we going to jump back in, finish the other half of the conversation?
First up, Dotto, I am trying, we've mentioned this on the podcast many times, but I'm trying to collect some retro games. Dotto and I have actually been talking about buying physical media a lot lately. It's just kind of been like, it's just, we're going to this like digital age, and I'm now kind of like yearning for more like owning stuff physically, you know?
Yeah, we're both getting that midlife crisis stage, and we've both turned to physical movies.
Man, dude, I hope neither of us in your like mid-20s, I'm early 30s, are going through a midlife crisis. But, but you know what, though? If my midlife crisis is just buying some physical media, you know, and it's not like it's something else, like, you know what? I'll take that. But so here's the thing. I was not a 360 guy. I was mostly a PlayStation guy. So it's kind of a semi-difficult question. But because I was a PlayStation guy, I still played a lot of that generation's games. So what are, if you had to give me, and I won't make it too complicated, your top three Xbox 360 games that I must own. Now, and here's the last caveat.
Go ahead.
I did finally get a 360, and I picked, the only games I have for my 360 are Gears 1 through 3 and the Halo games. So you can't use those.
Okay. So, because those are really basic
games that I need to own.
Those are really basic and honestly a little annoying. Like, obviously, Halo Reach, you know, all the Halo games, obviously, Gears 3, great game, Gears 1. You know, good stuff. 360 games. Damn. But see, the thing is, I don't know if I'm suited to answer this question. I wish I was.
I thought you were an X-Bot, Dotto. I knew that too. Let us know below. Let me know.
Yes, I'd be interested in hearing them, because part of the 360 being good is that it's so iconic that a lot of the greatest games on 360 have just continued their legacies now. Like, you know, Far Cry 3 was a great game, but do you need to play it nowadays? Not really, you know, because it's been done a million times. 360
But it's never
games.
Been done better than 3, by the way. 3 is still the best.
I still agree, but I think part of that is just because it was a moment in time, you know, like, for in terms of, like, timeline and when it was good, it definitely has the highest boundary, you know? And also just the coolest characters. Anyway.
I'll make it easier. Just choose one then. Just give me one 360 and you think
he doesn't
back down from a challenge.
I don't back down from a challenge. I'm at least giving you three of something, bro. Like,
okay.
Like, what if I hit you with a curveball? What if I hit you with a little bit of Explosion Man? You know?
What is that?
Would you be interested in? It's a little puzzle game, you know? See, Nano, something that you Sony heads wouldn't know about is the Summer of Arcade, you know, for Xbox fans. Was a time of great, great content. All right. We would get we'd get a lot of arcade games during the summer, and usually they were ass. But the first summer it happened, it was pretty good. And I think we got Explosion Man, great little puzzle game.
I feel like this reminds me of Pain from the PlayStation. We had Pain. Yeah. But like, Never mind. I see now. Pain was like, you would throw this guy, you would like slingshot him, kind of like an Angry Birds type thing, but it was full 3D, and you would slingshot him into things and try to destroy as much stuff as possible. It's like that mini game in it's kind of like Burnout, like the Burnout modes. I don't know if you ever played those, where you try to like do as much damage as possible in one like straightaway. Anyway, but It looks like there's some similar aspects because you like explode him and make him like fly, and he's got a bunch of crazy ragdoll physics, and you try to get him to hit into like a bunch of things like in the city and stuff like that. Anyway, but it was a down. It was like in that same era of downloadable games. Like, what was another downloadable one that was huge? The one I'm thinking of right now that's like a arcade like twin stick shooter type thing. Geometry Wars. Geometry Wars.
Yeah, that was a good one. That's an all time classic. Well. You know, if it wasn't for, I would hit you with, you could play Lost Odyssey. I saw you have that one.
I do have that one. That's one of the gamers' ones I have. Yeah.
That's a gamer's game. I don't know more than four people that have beaten that game. But let's see. So that's technically two. I mean, you know what, Nano? I've been playing a little game recently on my Series X that, when it came out, got a lot of flack. But, and I see why. But playing it now, I'm actually having a really fun time.
I've been seeing you on this shit a lot lately, actually.
Really? You've been seeing it. I think you should try Crackdown 2, Nano. That's a little Xbox 360 joint, I think.
I had that on my list, actually, of like I wanna get like the Crackdowns because I don't know, like those are like different in their 360.
They're very gamey games, you know, like I've been running around collecting agility orbs, and it's really got me on my, like, I'm just playing it. I'm like, man, if I get all the achievements in this, I'm just a gamer, bro. Like, I'm just different.
Bro's trying to see that fully 1,000 out of 1,000.
Oh, you know what else? I'm seeing it. I pulled up a list just to try to jog my memory of games that are on this thing. N Plus is pretty fun. That's another arcade game. You might have even played it before. Have you played N++ and things like that?
No, I've never heard of this.
It's a little parkoury. It's a little gamey. Maybe we'll cut a Patreon gameplay session when I'm out in the Santa Monica studio when we're both out there. But then Blue Dragon, I think, is also exclusive, right? That's the Toriyama RPG.
Blue Dragon! Okay, you won me over with that, man. You know
All
what?
Right, it's, there you go.
It's crazy, Dottie. You mentioned something about Patreon, something about being a key member, which supports the podcast, that you can do that by clicking the join button down below if you're watching us on YouTube.
What?
If you're not, you're listening to us, or you want to save a couple bucks, you can go to patreon.com/keymoments, become a member, watch our reactions to Dragon Ball Z, watch exclusive bonus podcasts that have never been released to the public, watch things a week early, give or take, as long as we're on our game with that. Tons of content available when you become a key member and support the podcast, which makes things like Dotto getting to fly out and do IRL podcasts possible. And also we can pay our editor. Thank you guys for being key members.
Hey, how's it going, Patreon? You guys want to watch some bonus content?
Anyways, we're playing this Dragon Ball game, which is...
Oh!
Today we're going over most of my Dragon Ball collection.
Me and Nano were involved in a hit and run.
Yes, that's the other crazy thing about this. The Sonic DLC and Sparking Zero sounded crazy.
That was weird, right? Like, I know, like, there's crossover, but
that was a crazy hype reel. I hope people enjoyed
that.
All
was
the...
that was weird. I felt my body like shift around because I just was like teleporting back in time and like having to react those things out. But yeah, I would say, you know, good hype reel. Do you think it got anybody to go over to the Patreon/ become a member on YouTube?
I think at least one person. Let us know on the bonus.
That's
for
all we need. Shout
episode.
Out to you, bro. Shout out to you, bro.
That
I'm
you
pointing
joined
the webcam
off
again. Shout out to you, bro.
I got to bring this up. I got to clear the air on this. Oh, wait, you going to give me more games? My bad. If you're going to give me more games.
No. Hands up, because that's all the games like I could really think of off the top of my dome like that, as in like good suggestions. But I've also, you know, been playing Xbox games. I just buy some random stuff. I just got Big Mother Truckers. I just bought that.
That sounds so Big Mother Truckers. That sounds so familiar. That feels like a game I would have rented at a Blockbuster back in the day.
Yeah, Big. I've really been on a game kick, as in like I go to a store, I'll pick up a game.
This came out in 2002. Yes. Because it's got the girl in the outfit, the Daisy Duke type outfit on the front cover.
Yeah, dude. I picked up Big Mother Truckers. Haven't gotten to play it yet.
But, you know, seen what Big Mother Truckers 2's name is?
No. What? Go ahead. Spitball.
Big Mother Truckers 2, Truck Me Harder.
Oh, shit. I like that.
Oh,
Big
my
Mother
God.
Truckers 2, Truck Me Harder?
Yeah, Truck Me Harder, man. That's insane.
Ah, damn. No, I appreciate that. I'll have to pick up the sequel.
All right.
If the first one's even good.
I have to clear up the air, okay?
Because go ahead.
When we were getting the new little trailer for Sparking Zero, which was a very good trailer, by the way, probably one of the best ones they've released so far. I saw
really?
Y'all Jirobi,
okay, go ahead.
When I saw y'all Jirobi, yeah. I name dropped you, Dotto. But some people took it the wrong way, because I think a lot of people, they know that you're like a human glazer. You know, you're a huge fan of the humans in the Dragon Ball universe, but Yajirobe's not one of them. So I was saying it was another one of those things. I was saying it sarcastically because I know that, you know, you literally hate Yajirobe. He's like, you know, he's like your, I mean, I'm kidding. Yeah. It's a bit for the podcast. Yajirobe's actually his favorite character besides Krillin. Most people don't know that.
He lying now, bro. See, I ain't even going to play around with that, bro. I hate that guy.
I just thought it was funny that people thought I was saying that as if it was real when, like, they do not know the key moments lore, bro. Like, you pissed some people off.
I'm a renowned Yajirobe hater, the Dragon Ball community. God, that's what I don't like, bro. I hate that. Like, look, we're all big fans of Dragon Ball, right? You know, I get it. But we don't need to pretend that we like Yajirobe and that he's a huge character. Okay, he's not a big deal.
I just don't like him, bro.
I'm with you.
Oh, I hate him, bro.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just need to clear that up, that was full-on sarcasm. I know that Dotto doesn't... we've had whole arcs of this Yajirobe shit over here on this Key Moments YouTube channel and podcast that, like, no, Dotto does not like Yajirobe.
Bro, so. Speaking of the Sparky Zero, I actually had... See, this is how I feel, and maybe it's just my worldview, you know? Maybe I'm blind to others' worldview, but in the Sparking Zero trailer, Annie Laza was also revealed.
Yeah.
And I'll be fucking damned if I thought that thing even had a name, bro, let alone remembered it.
I thought it was Raza, by the way. I thought it was Annie Raza. I thought it was an R instead of an L, but...
Well, I'm sure in Japanese, they don't have L, so it probably is, like, pronounced Aniraza over there.
Okay.
Which actually, unironically, I think is easier to say. So I probably would have thrown an R in there for the English if I was translating it. But, dude, did you know? So you did know slightly what its name was before it was revealed.
Yeah, but
that's crazy, bro. See, you're a bigger fan than me.
Okay, but here's why. He's not a character, by the way, in any of the mobile games, so it's not because of that. But it's because I do the theory videos, and when I do those, I try to do my due diligence on, like, incorporating random different weird characters sometimes, and he's one of them I've incorporated, so I've actually looked into him. But do I really remember what he did? And I say this in my reaction video, like, I didn't even know what he was going to do because I couldn't remember what the hell he even did. Like, I don't remember.
I remembered that he was the gang-up target, you know? Like, he was the victim of the jumpening. Of Universe 7.
Yeah, and that was his big moment. Coming together. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he was a jobber. Like, literally, his job was to make a cool moment for the team. And I say he, but I think it was... I remember it being, like, an amalgamate. Like, I don't remember the lore. It was, like, an amalgamation of fighters, right?
Yeah, it's, like, the entire... That entire universe is... I think it's...
Yeah. So, I remember all that. But, like, the name, bro? Like... I don't know. And then... But, like, that spawned, like, people going, how do you not know the name of... Annie Laza. I'm like, so we're just going to pretend that that's a big thing to know. I would describe myself, and I was talking to Rhyme about this because I think it's funny, because I would say I'm a huge fan of Dragon Ball, but I think I have to add the caveat that I'm a huge casual fan of Dragon Ball. I don't know how to describe it. Like, do I know the moment? I remember that. Do I remember the name? No. The characters that formed together to make the name? No, none of that. I barely even remember. I remember Ribrian. But not like Rosie, right? Rosie
and Kakuza.
See, you got me. I wouldn't have even
some of this
Kakuza.
Is a Dokkan. I got a Dokkan buff. I got a Dokkan of Legends buff.
The Dokkan buff is crazy. I will
say
that.
It's only for character names, though. It's not for, like, pretty much anything else. I'm kind of with you. You know, it's kind of like doing this rewatch. I cannot express to people how little I've actually watched Dragon Ball Z. Like, rewatched it.
Because that's the best way to say it.
Yeah, I'm not a rewatcher of things. We've said this multiple times, but, like, when you talk to some people, like, they've watched through Z like 10 to, or 20 times. I've seen through Z from start to finish, again, with some missing episodes like the one we're gonna talk about today. I've definitely never seen in my life, like, one time. That's it. I just don't rewatch shit. I don't know, like, it's just not, like, it's, I just don't do it. Like, I've been wanting to rewatch Attack on Titan for like a decade now. I've never done it. Do I kind of want to do it soon? Maybe, but, like, I don't know. Like, it's just, I'm not a rewatcher. And so, like, yeah, when it's like moments like Annie Laza, I'm like, I don't know. I've not seen that shit for 7 years. I don't remember what really happened. Like, I saw that.
I can't believe
it's
been that long, dude. Holy.
Right. Which brings us, unless you wanted to bring something else up, which brings us to the
topic. Go ahead, man.
All right. So let's dive in. So Dragon Ball Super 2, or just the continuation of Dragon Ball Super. So presumably, if all of this is to be correct, and it pretty much is why we can't have the characters. And again, I swear on everything, that Sparking Zero pre-order character, he is not, it's not Alter Ego, man. So many people think it's going to be Alter Ego, and I'm like...
But what if it's Granola, And they actually don't follow what they say of what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, listen, that would actually be, do you know how pop off that would be for videos on YouTube to finally have like those characters not be mods?
It would be pretty big. It'd be pretty big time.
So, I guess let's just get it out of the way and then we can actually have the discussion I want to have with you. So the general understanding that we have is that there's one rights holder that holds the rights for the manga, and then there's another rights holder that holds the rights for the anime, and they are completely separate. They are 100% separate. And when they're working on the games, the only thing that they can touch are the anime rights. They don't actually have the manga rights, which is why it is kind of a big deal to be seeing manga moves in Sparking Zero. And we've seen a few, I believe, in Dokkan/Legends here, like very, very sparingly, but never any forms. I imagine the line is drawn, especially on giving us forms like Ultra Ego, like the big UI Goku, like Granola, like Moro, stuff like that. Like, you're not going to see that. And that is simply because the rights are literally split down the middle, and one person holds manga, one person holds anime, and they are completely separate. So my question to you, Dotto, is that, do you ever see a world, which is also why probably Daima is happening, by the way, because Daima is like, again, I'm pretty excited about Daima, just for the simple fact that we're going to be going in week to week not knowing. So if Super comes back and they cover the manga arcs, we're going to know like the beat to beat. But with Daima, we just don't. And probably why Daima is happening is maybe we haven't gotten Super 2 because they literally can't come up to an agreement of like what to do with Super 2. So my question to you is, do you think when Dragon Ball comes back, it makes too much money for it to not come back at some point, that's not just Daima, actually continuation of the main timeline, do you think they will adapt Moro, Granola, and all of that? Or do you think we will see something completely different? Something we just have never seen before. It is still a continuation, but they almost act like Moro and Granola didn't even happen. And would that piss you off if they did do that?
I think it would, because that would be point. I think there's no actual way that it comes back and doesn't follow the manga. Okay. At least, like, you know, the same way it has been before, like maybe moderate differences, but pretty much beat for beat. Just because, you know, there's no way the plan wasn't to let the manga get ahead to sell more copies of the manga while also promoting the anime, you know? There's no way that wasn't the business plan. They wouldn't just split it up. I don't think so. But if they did, it would be a little exciting in a sense, but also I'd be pissed. You know, I'm not even going to lie. Like, come on, man. I waited so long. I want to see Granola. I want to see Moro.
What if it was Peak, pretty much? Like, what if what they adapted was actually Peak?
Like, what do you mean? Like, what? Adapted, you just mean what they did?
It because it's something that doesn't even exist here. But what what if it came back and it was an arc that we've never seen before? What if it really was like on that level of what you were expecting out of more on Granola? Like, would that not,
I feel like I would take it, but the thing is, like, I'd always be asking, like, the next up, like, damn, so how is this going to fit into when we cover Granola, you know? Like, so how do we shift into Moro now, gang? But that because come on, bro, it's more than that, right? Like, it's more than just Granola and Moro. It's also the Black Frieza stuff, which is pretty much like end game level shit, dude. Like, I'm trying to see what Black Frieza is.
Which is insane that shit has just been literally like halted for a year plus now. Like, that happened, and now you just have had to sit here and be like, okay. So,
like, that and Oob, bro, like, where's the Oob glaze at? Like, man. Still waiting on more moments like that. Because, you know, I've told you this before, but the Oob glazing has already begun in Super Manga. You still haven't read it, huh?
I still have not read it, no.
See, there's an Oob glaze moment that is so crazy that I know you, Nana, bro, you'd be on the same page as me. With the level that they glazed Oob in Super, oh my god, it's actually unreal. That it's not fair. It's not fair to Oob fans that we're not getting more of that. But damn, this just reminded me that I'm excited for the manga to come back in general.
Yeah, which again, we don't really have a timeline on when that could possibly be.
It was on this very podcast where, like, I read the tweet where it was like, oh, it's only gonna be like a 1 month break. That didn't happen, bro. Unless, god damn.
Yeah,
again, it's been like 17 months.
That's why you can't believe everything. That's also why, like, I'm stating that this is our presumed knowledge of what is going on with the manga and with the anime. And it probably is truly accurate about the rights holder differences, but it is beyond unfortunate that this the state of Dragon Ball it's in. The next thing I want to do, Dotto, is let's try to predict when it will come back.
Okay.
So Daima is a confirmed like 20 episodes, going to start sometime this fall. So Daima should be over in either winter, probably winter wrapping up. So when do you think we could act like really, I know we've been trying to predict this since like 2018. We've been told it's coming back. It's coming back. When do you think Super 2 comes back? Like actually a realistic year.
It's been so okay. Go first.
I'll say 2026.
I'd say, yeah, if I was going to guess a year. Do you think it's actually going to be like Super 2, or do you think it's going to be a new brand?
Oh, that's a good point. We have seen some weirdness with the branding lately, right? We've seen them, like for the first time ever, we saw them take like the Super off of like the Dragon Ball branding for some stuff. Sparking Zero again is not branded in any way. It's just purely Dragon Ball. I don't know. We might see a shakeup of the brand. I do think that whatever. Okay, let me preface then. If it's not called Dragon Ball Super, I think they'd be kind of silly to not do that, because it's kind of like what we do with like titles on YouTube. Like that has brand awareness. You know, I guess Dragon Ball General is the smart keywords there. But whatever it is, when it comes back, it will be a continuation of the final moments of what happened in Dragon Ball Super.
It probably would be. I just think, to me, like, I don't know. See, when Dragon Ball Super ended, I thought it was, I don't know if you agree. I guess we probably have talked about this, but it's been a while. I thought it was ending for like maybe a couple months.
Same.
Like 6 months. Like, yeah. It really didn't hit me like a farewell forever kind of beat. No. But now it's been so long that I actually think like Super is just kind of done for. But I mean, the thing is, if I was a businessman, I wouldn't want to do that. I probably wouldn't have even wanted to ditch Z. It's just there'd been so much time that I feel like you have to in that case. But I don't know if I'd want to ditch the Super branding, especially because it would be attached to a manga. So I actually would say that if it comes back, maybe Super has to stay just because of the manga also being called Super. But
that's a good point. Yeah,
I'm going to say 2026 as well, if it even has a chance.
Yes.
If we're not just done for, you know, which I don't think we are, but
I think the biggest thing is that like people love money and Dragon Ball prints money. And it still prints money without even having an ongoing anime. But like, I do think that actually bonus question. Do you think the next thing we see again, not including Daima. The next thing we see is the series coming back or another movie?
Probably another movie. They love movies.
Yeah.
I think it's low commitment to them.
Yeah.
Which is a little frustrating because I don't know. It's like whatever, you know, movies are, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a movie hater, you know, like they're fun, but like, I feel like it's like a quick treat, you know, like I need like a couple months of my life to be dedicated to Dragon Ball. You know, I don't, like, if somebody asked me what's my plans for the week, I want to say, well, I'm excited for Dragon Ball this Thursday, and then next Thursday, some Dragon Ball. But with a movie, it's like, oh, man, you know, it's coming up. And then it comes out, and then that's it, you know?
I wasn't sure where, again, the person that edits our podcast is Toasty. I wasn't sure where he aligned with the Broly versus superhero. Dotto, he's based.
He's a Broly head.
He's with us on Broly. I rewatched, by the way, a little bit of Broly the other day because someone tweeted out, and I bought Broly on YouTube so I could just pull up my YouTube app at any time and start watching DBS Broly. And I just can't even believe that like they're in the same conversation. Like Broly is just so much better than superhero.
I agree. The more time goes on, like the less favorably I look at superhero.
Same, actually. It's still a good movie, and I still think it probably is number two for me. But like, I just can't even believe, like, I'm not going to even entertain anymore that they are even close.
That's pretty much where I'm at. It's like, when it first came out, I was like, oh, you know, they're pretty even for like different reasons. And now as it's going on, it's like, well, not really, you know, like not even really close, honestly. But like, again, the Dragon Ball movie tier list is hella curved for me. It's like, like superhero compared to literally every movie before, maybe even Broly. like Battle of Gods is almost like whatever to me.
I don't get I think Battle of Gods, and I understand it was really exciting to be back and watching Dragon Ball, but literally I also don't get how people put Battle of Gods up there even anywhere near Superhero Broly's level, because it's like
I don't either but we're gonna get flamed again, bro. This is
honestly, I'm here, dude, we can all have differing opinions. I am here to just state that I also cannot stand when people act like DBS Broly isn't good from start to finish. The beginning of DBS Broly is actually super interesting. I promise you.
It's lore. It's good lore.
When you've rewatched Superhero, which, you know, I haven't in a while, but if you do rewatch Superhero, ain't nobody watching that first 15, 20 minutes of that movie, period.
It's the first really 15, boring, 20 yeah.
minutes. Yes, it's bad. It's really, really bad, dude. I'm sorry.
Well, bad is kind of crazy.
No, dude. We're sitting in that car, like, it's just not, it's not, it's nowhere near as rewatchable to me as DBS Broly. And it, like, the beginning, you can't even say, like, oh, but fusions, Nano. There's no fusions in the beginning. None of that. I just enjoy being on planet Vegeta and like all, I don't know, dude, whatever. Anyway.
Now that we're on this, just for 1 second, we've had this conversation multiple times, but as time goes on, I'm still putting Superhero above like anything that's been any original Dragon Ball Z movie is barely, you know, a movie. It's like 5 minutes of fighting at the end. Mm-hmm. With the same plot every time.
Besides, dude, World Strongest iconic really characters. Broke the mold. Don't even play, man. World Strongest actually, like, I cannot believe how good that movie was for what it, for what it was.
It was, you know, maybe, and maybe this is an opinion that'll change, because yes, it does a little bit. But just comparing it, Superhero is above a lot base. And I think Revival of Frieza and Battle of Gods both got recovered in the anime, so it really low it. That's got to be like, you know, the new meme on TikTok. My new tick is saying aura a lot. That's got to be like a minus 50,000 aura to a movie title being recovered in an anime, bro. It's just like, I've seen this elsewhere now. It's like boring. It's not movie-esque.
Yeah.
But Broly, still movie-esque. And also just the way it's animated, I think it's always going to have that. Superhero, still movie-esque. Still has that aura to it. But I don't know. It's like, again, maybe if you add like 15, if you add Perfect Cell Max, you know, then, you know, then we could talk, because you get the 30 more minutes at the end. But yeah, Broly, I think it's far and away better than Superhero. Probably on its own tier, if we're being honest.
Yeah, it is. I think we were too kind to Superhero in our ranking, which again is why we did that ranking when we did it, so that way we could redo the ranking at some point, because
it's the curve though, man. Like, do you really want to have like? Because am I putting another movie next to Superhero on the same tier? Probably not. I don't know what, because like, what am I comparing that to? I don't know. It's Battle of Gods doesn't meet it. Revival of Frieza doesn't meet it. Nothing else has hopes of meeting it. So it's just like two individual tiers are Superhero and then above it is Broly. But no, last thing I want to say on it is Broly's beginning is not boring. It's like interesting Saiyan stuff, you know, like it's cool. Like it's just cool. And then it's interesting. And then it's cool. It introduces cool characters. And then there's like nonstop fighting, which is exactly what I want, and which is perfect. So yeah.
Can I say something super controversial right now?
All right, go ahead.
Am I rage baiting with this one? Maybe. But I actually think right now, purely on memory, Dotto, I think that I would currently rate World Strongest higher than Battle of Z.
By Battle of Z, you mean Battle of Gods?
Yeah, Battle of Gods, sorry.
You know, I don't want to agree with you because then it's not controversial, but I think I agree with you. I mean, like, because Battle of Gods to me, I'm not going to lie, that movie is like the reason, like, was it good? Yes. But dude, it's lost. Again, I know this sounds stupid as fuck, but it's,
no, it doesn't.
It's so recovered now. Mm-hmm. And Beerus and Whis are so, the movie did too good of a job that now I can't imagine Dragon Ball without Beerus or Whis. So the whole movie loses fucking premise to me. Like, there's no stakes at all. Like, there's just nothing there. There's no villain. It's basically just everybody hanging out on a boat. I'm not even kidding. That's how I remember that movie. It's like everybody hangs out on a boat and Beerus trains Goku a little bit, you know?
I feel like the Battle of Gods did not break the old school mold of Dragon Ball movies. And it is literally, again, from memory, I've not seen this movie. Again, we just had this whole discussion, not rewatching. I've not watched this movie in like 10 years. But what I remember about this movie is literally, it's the same thing where it's like, Beginning, setup, you know, it's just like a boring-ish. Not boring. I love watching Dragon Ball, but still it is like the boring side of Dragon Ball. And then it's the last 15 minutes are fighting, and then that's the movie. But it's like an hour and 5 minutes of just like...
It does have, the only thing it has is, for me, the one thing is the "You Will Not Destroy My World" scene. It's still like, that's pretty peak. I'm not even gonna lie.
Oh God, yeah, that scene honestly is what held that as high for me as it did. When you take that scene away and it's just him going God, and he doesn't ever do that scene, and I probably it probably even lower for me. Like,
you know what? Fuck the rewatch part of this podcast, bro, because I'm bringing up another hot topic. Ooh. Bro. Super Saiyan God is like the perfect example of a follow-up transformation, bro. Like, Super Saiyan God by itself is not interesting, but if it's like the second aspect, then it's cool.
I can't.
I'm gonna say it, bro. Hear me out, bro. It's not hype. It's not exciting enough to pull its own weight. Because even in its own movie, bro, the best part of that movie is when he goes Super Saiyan again. Explain that, Nano.
I do hate that you're making a good point with that.
But Super Saiyan God gets introduced. Coolest part is when he goes Super Saiyan. Wow, bro. Great form, bro. No,
when he goes up in the air and he turns into a god for the first... Dude, God looks so good. I love the color red.
Yeah, I love the color red. So. I agree. Me too. And it's awesome when it's like, you know, it's going into something. Or like in Tournament of Power when he goes God and then he changes back. You know? Like, that's cool, man. That's cool. But... if God's on the screen for more than 10 minutes, it just, you know, it's boring now. So, like in Broly, God was used perfectly.
We just recently got God Goku from this movie in Dragon Ball Legends as part of the anniversary. And in my video, I said, the crazy thing, though, is that while Battle of Gods had Super Saiyan God and like that was its debut, it's not even the best outing of Super Saiyan God, because the DBS Broly Super Saiyan God section stomps all of the Battle of Gods.
It's better.
Section.
It's better. And you know why it is, Nano? It's because it's just a small moment in time, bro. It's a small moment in time. Because really, what is God even doing, bro? It's not max power. It's not max output. It's not even
it's agility, though. Agility based.
It's agility, which means that its best moment is just like in between other moments. That's where it's used best. And I love it. I love Super Saiyan God. It's up there, you know, in terms of forms. But when it's the main focus, is it, if you're saying like it's going to, if you're picking a form to be the main focus of a scene, like Super Saiyan 3 is tied with Super Saiyan God. Easily, it probably not eclipsing it. If you're gonna have a moment, like again, the biggest fraud alert, bro, is in the movie. The most hype moment is when he goes Super Saiyan, and that's it, bro. The God is just like boring. Broly has the best God, and that's because it's like warming up. Like I don't know. Well, I'm glad we got a little controversial take out there.
Yeah, I like God. God is like a top three for me. I think. I want to say that somebody semi-spooled me, and so you can tell me if this actually happened or not, because I think I want to see a sequence like this, but is them switching transformations like on the go mid-fight, not like powering up, but also including powering down. So like going between God to Blue, back to God, back to Blue, and maybe even like throwing in some Super Saiyan. Does that happen in the manga? I think that does.
Do you want me to spoil it for you?
I think Vegeta does that, right? Or something?
Yes. My bad, bro. I see... the most recent thing I read was the manga. That was definitely what I was referring to when I'm saying that's when God's used at its best. Because, yes, I thought that I remember being in the show. I guess that's my imagination. But, yes, that's literally when God was at its best was Vegeta. I think it is Vegeta. He goes like God to get a speed boost while holding back power to, like, you know, hold off. And then he'll go back into Blue to deliver a punch. And he's back into God.
I want
to
see that.
It's really cool.
I want to see that animated.
It's cool.
Shit.
But again, add it to the fraud list for fucking God, bro, that its best moments is when it's like being teased in front of you. Anyway, I'm just putting God on fraud watch, bro. Because it's cool. I like it too. Let me just say, I like it too. You know, more Goku. I do like Goku and God more, but Vegeta, I think Vegeta looks better in God than in Blue. The best way for the form to be used, Nano, is if maybe if Vegeta's God, like, blue form was just the red form. I think the red looks better on Vegeta. Anyway.
The red does. I will stand by that with you. The red looks better on Vegeta than it does on Goku, in my opinion. Actually, God Vegeta might be. Man, never mind. Let's.
I'm not even saying that. I like Goku more than Vegeta there, but Vegeta Blue and Vegeta God, I think Vegeta God looks cooler. Dude,
Vegeta God looks infinitely better to me than Goku God. I swear he does, bro. He just does.
Whoa.
He just does.
Well, Nano, personally, I would say that I'm sorry for delaying the rewatch part of this podcast, but I'm really not because, I mean, this shoot didn't even really do much. But there actually is a few surprises in here, I guess.
Okay.
So you... Go ahead.
I was going to do our typical. So today, now like 30 minutes into the podcast, we are talking about episode 37 of the uncut version of Dragon Ball Z. It's called Plans for Departure. The actual literal name of it. Oh, this is kind of cool. the actual name in Japanese was The Mysterious Yunzabit, The Search for Kami-sama's Spaceship. It's the second episode of the Namek Saga. Yes, we are officially in the Namek Saga if you guys are a rewatch watcher. And 37th overall episode in the Uncut Dragon Ball Z series. This episode originally aired in Japan on the 21st of 1990. And the American air date, because again, they had redubbed these. They were watching the Funimation dubs. The redub for this was on and released on August 16th of 2005. Because again, Funimation picked up where the Ocean dub like took off. So we will sooner than later be into the original.
I'm looking forward to when you don't have to say that anymore.
I think it is. We are not watching the way people watch this in the States. We're watching it being recreated later from Funimation.
To be fair,
they wouldn't have a full start from finish Funimation.
Anyways. I recently purchased the Rock the Dragon set. We could switch over.
Oh shit.
I think that might only cover to the Saiyan Saga. I don't remember.
I showed my wife Rock the Dragon for the first time the other night in bed. And wait,
what? Go ahead.
Anyway, I actually think she thought whatever I was watching was fan made. And it made me kind of sad.
It is pretty rock and roll. See, the thing is the tone shifted so much, you know, like it was rock and roll back in the day.
Man, it was.
Now it's more just, you know, it's whatever. It's less American.
But I love it, though. I don't even care. I love listening to that.
I love American Dragon Ball, man. I can't. Or Western Dragon Ball. You know, I'm not going to hide it. You know, I'm not going to hide my passion, my love. Because it's there. I love Rock the Dragon, and I love screaming, and I love fighting. And you know, put a little Linkin Park in there, you know. See, I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to stop you.
So, okay. So what did, and I'm hoping we had the same experience, but when you walked into the Sparking Zero playtest and when they start the slideshow yes. up and they played Rock the Dragon, did that do some shit for you? Cause it popped off, like our eight people at our session popped off for that. So
yes, I mean, I don't even know if we talked about this, but at our Sparking Zero session, we have a talk before you get to play.
Yes.
Like a little PowerPoint slide. And they showed us a little like hype up moment. And they said it was specifically to get us excited to play. And it was Rock the Dragon for me as well. And I was like, oh, no way. Because I was like, let's go, dude. Like, this is sick. This is appealing to me.
Yes.
Thank you. I felt like personally, like I was sitting there like, wow, all these people in the room and you guys chose to appeal to me. Thanks. I appreciate that.
What a preface that this was just Bandai doing this. I think for us, I don't think Rock the Dragon is going to be in the game.
It was just Playdays, I think, did it.
What a preface. I'm not trying to hype you guys up that you're going to hear Rock the Dragon and Sparking Zero. I don't think it's going to be there. I don't think they recognize that at all. I think that was just a fun thing for us.
It was like a teaser for people at the Playdays event.
Yes.
So I don't even know if it was officially connected to Dragon Ball. Like, there was a lot of like Playdays, you know, kind of stuff. But yeah. What was I...
My bad. I'm sorry. I just wanted to. I didn't want someone to walk into this podcast thinking like, holy shit, Rock the Dragon then Sparking Zero.
Yes. It was awesome. It was sick. And I love American, Western Dragon Ball. I keep saying American, but just like Western world Dragon Ball went crazy. Anyway, what are we doing on Yunzabito, bro?
Let me just give you guys a quick little like synopsis. Basically, the whole thing right now is that we're trying to get to Namek, right? And like Bulma does her, and it's going to take 4,000 plus years to get there. And then they're like, wait, but Nappa came here. Nappa's got a big like a Saiyan pod, we can just take it. And then the U.S. Army or somebody comes and like takes the Saiyan pod. And then
it was the East City Army.
Yeah, you're right. My bad.
Recovery team, as the wiki says, but we know they're just covering up for Big East City, bro. We already know that. I mean,
and so anyway, everyone's in the hospital because of course Goku is like super injured and like a lot of moaning in this episode. And
That is true. It was a pretty moan heavy episode.
You've made a comment.
I'm bricked up throughout the first half of this thing. Going into it. No, go ahead. What was the comment?
You said a comment like crazy day in the studio for voice acting on this.
Big day in the voice acting studio, because I know they got to check, because it's a lot of like, you know, the anime moment. It's like if Nano asked me a question, I go, That was if I'm not being hyperbolic, it was at least maybe 6 minutes of the episode you could make up with.
Actually, but anyway, Bulma shows up in a new fit. She's got the Saiyan pod remote. They're watching the news. The Saiyan pod has been recovered and it's in this building. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to put in the coordinates and have it, like, I think she says it's going to have it go to Capsule Corp, right?
She's going to get it, like, it's going to be delivered to them. Yeah, pretty much.
It's going to, like, pop up, like, in fucking Dragon Ball The Breakers type shit, and then arrive over at Capsule Corp. She goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's that bitch self-destructs right there. I can't say that.
It's not a joke. It was in the Big E City building. The news reporter was commenting on it. She fucking blows up the building. You literally hear the reporter say, oh, my God. Oh, my God. The entire building is in shambles. Everything is going horribly wrong. Like, it could not have been worse. Not only did Bulma just fucking... After me and you, Nana, we put our necks on the line for her. We've been gassing her up this whole series about the power of her intellect and how she's actually the biggest member of the team, the best member of the team. And she fucking blows up a building, kills probably 60 humans. At least 60, you know, at least. Because I don't want to on the outer here on the podcast. So many people die. She blows up the building. The hopes for the future are dead. Like, this was it, bro. This was how we were going to get to Namek. And we just watched it go out in a fucking big bang, bro. I threw in a little drag. Okay, yeah. Okay. You know, I like to think I'm pretty good with it. But so Nappa's attack ball is fucking gone. It's mincemeat. There are no Saiyan pods left, which I'm not going to lie. Before this episode, I thought that was just game over. I thought in my head that the Saiyan ball was studied and transformed into a spaceship.
Yes, I thought that was what was going to be happening as well. But what actually happens is Mr. Popo shows up out of nowhere. Lots of really awkward interactions between characters here when he shows up. This was a very like weird moment throughout like this particular episode, but Bulma goes with Popo because she's like, they're saying like she's the designated like spaceship expert because he knows of a spaceship.
Some spaceship expert, by the way. She fucking blew one up today. So.
Yeah. he knows of a spaceship out in the highlands of Yunzabit. And so Popo is going to take Bulma out there because he knows about it, because Kami talked about growing up in the highlands of Yunzabit for years. And he came on this spaceship and likely came without his parents and was sent off, kind of like basically Goku, I guess, in a way. And so they find this Namekian spaceship that can only be used by operated by using Namekian words. And to open the spaceship, they use Piccolo, which is like,
what? Yeah, I don't know if we like misunderstood that or like, I still don't really get that.
I didn't get that either. Then they get inside.
We were talking, maybe it didn't make sense or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know why it was Piccolo, or maybe we figure that out soon. But yes, I just wanted to say, was confused on that.
Yeah. When he says, but he also didn't say like Piccolo, like the way we say Piccolo. He like slowed it down and was like,
oh, I'm stupid. No, what? We're dumb. I just remember that Kami and Piccolo are literally the same guy, just split in half. Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So that is his name. Yeah, technically.
But why? But still, again, why is that the name? Like his name?
Because
is
it's his name. Yeah.
But like, you I like, guess. I, like I'm gonna walk up to spaceship and go Tyler. Like what?
Beam me up.
Yeah. Like what?
Well,
the fuck?
I mean,
like,
it's not a great password, but at least it makes sense to me. I was like, why would he be glazing some other dude? Like it's been like you walking up and saying Tyler on your car to unlock it makes sense. But if I walked up to my car and said Tyler, that wouldn't make any fucking sense.
But again, though, you can just walk up to my car and you can say it too. Like, cause like Popo is the one that says it. It's not even Kami that says it. And it just works.
Like, well, I mean, you know, you gotta remember they were sending a baby over. Okay. Like we learned later that Namek was dying. Fucking Piccolo's parents probably sent them over because, you know, they couldn't make it a hard password. He's a baby.
Well, we kind of knew Namek was dying, right, from the previous episode.
Yeah, they told us the previous episode.
There's like 100 people left on the planet or whatever because mostly inhabitable. Anyway, Bulma, like, tries pressing the buttons and she's like, I'm not a spaceship expert. And then she's like, wait, if we used words to get into it, maybe we use words to operate it. And that's when, for whatever reason, they tell the damn thing to go to Jupiter. Why? I don't know.
That was an interesting test. She said... And also, Mr. Popo, a lot better at the Namekian language than he lets on, because he knows the word for fly and then to Jupiter, so he puts together a little sentence. But I'll be damned if that thing didn't fucking haul ass.
That
thing flew. We said it. He fucking said, I don't even remember. I remember it was like Jupito was like Jupiter in Namekian. Yes. It was like Ikodo Jupito, and it went immediate, no confirmation, just here's the words and books it. It looked really cool though. This was like the one animated section of the episode, so they went all out. You know, the effects were good.
Yeah, no, the effects reminded me of Metacooler, kind of like, you know, Metacooler is like moving through like
yeah,
time,
yeah, yeah.
Like,
he's
really
like,
fast. That's
he's
like
high speed dash. Yeah,
that's what they did here. And also, they used some other words and brought a bed out and a toilet and stuff like that. But the real main thing you need to know going into the next episode of Dragon Ball is that Popo and Bulma are now sitting out in space right outside Jupiter's orbit. And that's where the episode literally ends. And that's pretty much the entire episode. I mean, there's some like back and forth with the characters. Krillin like grilled Yajirobe at one point, which was very funny. But other than that, like that's basically the episode. That's it. That was the episode.
Yeah, no, it's pretty much over. Yeah.
So, Dotto, tell us what's going on. There's got to be... Well, first off, he read something that
I spoiled myself earlier on before we even started recording the podcast because I went to the differences from the manga.
Okay.
I was shocked. So let's go... There's a lot, by the way. So I think we should go through most of them.
Okay.
But let's start. In the anime, Goku is shown to be visibly distressed over being in the hospital, causing Gohan and Krillin to be wary about being treated. In the manga, Goku is never shown to have any issue. That's not what I really freaked out about. In fact, that's pretty, you know, whatever one. But yeah, Goku's pretty freaked out in anime. The sequence in Goku's hospital room is ordered slightly different at the beginning. The manga first has Goku relaying that his injuries will take 4 months to heal, and he may never get back to normal, before Korin assures him that he'll be fine in a month when new sensu beans grow. In the anime, though... he says that after Krillin and Gohan say that they're only going to take 3 days to heal. So Goku goes second in anime. He is first in manga. So that's also whatever, not what spoiled me.
Okay.
The next difference, Nano, is Milton Monroe, in case you didn't know that the announcer on TV that was watching the Saiyan Pod had a big name like that. I didn't know that. Has an additional scene of him on television.
How the hell did they get the name? Milton Monroe? What?
Maybe he says it. Maybe he goes Milton Monroe here.
Maybe. Okay. My bad. Sorry.
I wasn't listening. I definitely didn't care what he had to say. Additional scene of him on television in the anime, comically injured by the exploding space pod accidentally caused by Bulma. In the manga, we only hear his recounting the event while the dragon team is aghast. So this is what made... I can't believe that this... Like, this confirmed to me that this is the actual story. I thought for sure the Saiyan space pod was a part of it.
Wait,
like, they got it back.
That's a good point. Wait, so are you telling me this is a canon episode right now? This is canon as shit, actually. Wait, I'm just not realizing.
This episode is canon as fuck, which is crazy because this just seems like an anime episode, kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I guess I probably should have known that. If you've read the manga recently, I guess you wouldn't be surprised by this. But with my understanding, I was like, wait, what? The patient that loses his balance on the crutches as a result of Bulma's scream because of her accidentally destroying the attack ball only does so with the nurse assisting him in the anime. In the manga, they were only showed to be scared by Bulma screaming. This is a canon ass fucking episode right here.
This is crazy. What?
In the manga, an elderly patient is shown to be praying from witnessing Mr. Bobo's flying carpet floating outside his room. The anime instead shows a younger, obese patient, okay, got his ass, yawning before he freaks out at the sight of Popo's carpet. In general, more people are shown gawking at Mr. Popo at Wukong Hospital. Hospital they're in is called Wukong Hospital.
Okay.
So a little reference. Bulma staring down Mr. Popo when Krillin tells her to go with the attendant is filler, though her initial distrust of Popo is still apparent in the manga. I can't believe how canon this episode is. I gotta read this shit clearly.
I was not anticipating all this. I definitely thought a lot of this was just not gonna be canon at all. Like, I thought this was so filler.
Yeah, no. The next one is basically Mr. Popo and Bulma's trek through Yunzibit Highland is expanded with the former hopping his way up a plateau as anonymous Bulma follows. Her paranoia about Popo doing possibly something improper during said sequence is lifted from a panel in the manga where they're merely walking towards the overlook. It's basically the same scene, just more. So this is basically like the perfect anime episode. It just expands the manga, but I just can't believe it. Okay, next. Mr. Popo recounting Kami's background to Bulma in the manga is mainly done from his perspective. The anime is more balanced in giving Kami in the flashback more dialogue when compared to the manga.
What?
The only shot of the nameless Namekian's childhood in the manga was him as a boy huddling in Yunzibit, whereas the anime depicts him growing up waiting for his parents.
Can I go out on a limb right now and say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is increasing my score for this episode right now.
That's crazy. Which I guess I actually agree with. I get it, because it's like, this is basically the perfect anime episode. It's just really like a boring one. Bulma and Mr. Popo's test flight to Jupiter is expanded with Bulma accidentally asking for a toilet and a bed in Namekian.
That even happens? The Jupiter thing happens?
Yes, I guess.
What?
I don't know, man. I didn't think any of this was going to be in the fucking manga, so. Yeah.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, no, I told you.
The score went up tremendously, Dotto. Okay, but also, can I just say that, like, this is their fault for making so much of this, like, a lot of this shit, as we've done this rewatch almost 40 episodes in, a lot of this shit, like, when it's filler, we've called that out, and we've been so right. We've been, like, so right so many times. This is the first time we've ever been this wrong about filler. Am I right?
Yes, I think this is the only time. It's like, you know, if it's filler, like, obviously it's going to be filler, but this is all canon. This is literally all canon.
This whole episode, every main event. What?
Yeah, it's literally, even the guy walking down the hallway was in the manga.
That's crazy, dude. Any fun trivia for us before we give the rating? By the way, shout out to Wiki. I think you've already said it too, but I'll say it again. Massive shout out to, as always, huge shout out to Wiki for being able to be such a awesome source for all this info.
I have two that I want to show up.
Okay.
In the original Japanese broadcast, the first 15 seconds of the next episode preview were devoted to next week's show. The next 15 seconds were devoted to a movie ticket lottery drawing for Dragon Ball Z, The World's Strongest, released in theaters on March 10th, 1990. The preview was not included in the Dragon Box. Instead, the preview was used for the rerun version for the next normal episode, Nursing Wounds. So that was my one. The next episode I really wanted to... read. Well, I guess I'll say this one too. This episode marks Mr. Popo's introduction to a majority of the Dragon Team, including non-combatants like Bulma. Before, he only had interacted with Goku, Krillin, Tien, Yamcha, Chaozu, and Yajirobe.
Yeah, which, yeah, like training sessions.
Which makes sense.
That.
It's basically Mr. Popo's introduction to a lot of these guys. And then we have to cover this one. The reporter covering the story on Nappa's attack ball is named Milton Monroe in the Saban Ocean dub. The Funimation dub leaves him nameless, as does the original Japanese version.
So
it definitely was just a Western Dragon Ball mode of, I'm Milton Monroe, and I'm... It's like, what the fuck? Why is he named Milton Monroe? I do like that the wiki, because he was named in one thing, just calls him Milton Monroe. So that's pretty cool. But that's about, is that all I'm interested in here? Let's see. Yeah.
Oh, this, I think that's about it. I scrolled down, and this is kind of interesting. The nameless Namekian spaceship has a computerized voice when processing Bulma's directions in the English version, in the English versions, while the Japanese version keeps it completely silent.
Oh, that is pretty interesting.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and yeah, I think that's another, like, I don't know. I like whenever they make a change, and I'm like, yeah, I guess as a Western guy, that's what I would imagine it would sound like. I basically like seeing why they did that creative decision, because it's probably just for like, well, a computer in our movies would probably like, but meaning going, you know, kind of like that. So yeah, pretty cool.
I thought so. Last week for 36, we gave Picking Up the Pieces. You gave it a 3. I gave it a 5. I think I went first last week, so I'll let you go first this time. I'm gonna give my rating for this one right now.
I'm not gonna lie. As you're holding up your rating, before the differences section, I was gonna kill this. I'm not even gonna lie. I was gonna say Dueling Piccolo's just got a new brother, but I'm gonna be.
This is what I would have given it before.
I'm gonna say because it is canon and it's pretty much just done exactly what I would like, and I'm just dumb. I'm gonna give it a 4. Right? I gave last episode a 3. I'm giving it one higher than the last episode.
Okay.
Because it did have some technical lore. It's pretty much about the same. It was gonna be one lower. I was gonna give this a 2 before, because it was just boring.
Okay.
Nano, go ahead. What did you have up?
We kept pretty in line there, because I said before I was going to give it a 3, so I was 1 point above you, and after I'm giving it a 5. So
okay, we're pretty close.
We stayed in the correct timeline there, Miguel.
Basically, and if people are wondering why I think I'm going to just speak for me here, but why I would change it knowing is because they pretty much just did the source material, but as good as they can.
Yeah,
I thought I was getting shafted by these guys, basically, but they were doing the best. Like, they were just...
Why'd you have to read ahead? I would have loved to have had your realization in the actual episode.
I mean, technically, my reaction was recording. I was reading. I was like, oh. And, yeah. No, I was... Yeah, my bad. I didn't expect... Because, Nano, I really thought... I didn't expect, bro.
I know. I thought they were, like blowing, like... what is the saying? Like, blowing smoke up your ass or something like that?
I went down because I was expecting to see, like, this entire episode was... completely fucking made up.
Yeah, same. So,
but no, not true.
Super impressed. I feel like, I don't know how you could have adapted, because we need, it's just like right now we're in that moment, those moments of they need to give us the lore, the info to get us to Namek to start seeing all the other things. And so, like, I don't know, maybe, do I want to give this a 6 as we see her and talk about it more? No, I won't change. But this was, for what it was, this was good. I want to also say, at least from my side of things, because so many people now that listen to the pod, and this has bled over into my main stuff, they think like I purely only want action and meathead moments, and that's not the case at all. I do enjoy this stuff too, but like, I don't know. It just, yeah, again, it took me out of it because a lot of it felt just not real. So finding out it was real was actually a saving grace for this. Dotto, though, do you hear that?
Oh my God, that's music.
That's them leaving a rating while this music is playing, and also leaving a like, and also subscribing. And holy shit, you can click on a video.
I can't hear anything over the music.